Welcome to CFO 4.0, the future of finance. The CFO role is changing rapidly, moving from cost controller to strategic visionary. And with every change comes opportunity. We are here to help you take advantage of this transition, to win at work, drive your career forwards, and lead with confidence. Join Hannah Munro, Managing Director of ITAS, a financial transformation consultancy, as she interviews key experts to give you real-world advice and guidance on how to transform your processes, people, and data. Welcome to CFO 4.0, the future of finance.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of FTL Live. So this is going to be a slightly different one. Normally, I very much use this as a way to present some of the frameworks and some of the bits of research that we've done around transformation. But I want to take this opportunity to firstly welcome everyone into the new year. I think I can say that it's still not the end of January yet, but also talk about what we should be looking forward to as 2026. So for me, 2026 is a people and process year. And the reason for that is that we have some really great tech coming through at the moment around that's going to drive improvements in efficiency and productivity, but it's still at that early stage. So I'm very much about making sure our customers are not only enabled for change, but they're ready for it, so that, you know, as this great technology starts to feed through, that they're able to take advantage of it. Because this is basically, the world is moving at the slowest pace that we're ever going to see. It's only going to get faster as AI really beds into day-to-day life. So for me, it's how do we start to build the momentum? How do we start to build the speed within finance to be able to cope with that degree of change? So and what we find, and this is, again, where I started the podcast back in the day of COVID, is that it isn't just about tech. And I'm sure if the same team will listen to this, they'll be going, what? You know, tech is important. Of course it is. It's what we do day to day. But it's about the things that go around tech. It's about the data. It's about the processes. And it's about the people and driving that change. So my first thing is make sure you have the right team. So we're about to go into the AI age. And a bit like the internet, think about what that did for the world of work. It changed completely. And it's not necessarily that jobs disappeared. Some jobs did, let's be open. But actually, they transformed. And that's what we need to be ready for. So, and what, you know, a lot of the conversations that I'm having with CFOs is that the team aren't enabled. They don't have the capacity to drive through the new projects, the new change that everyone knows. So the first thing I would say to you is making sure that your team have capacity to drive your finance team forward. So building and resourcing to a level where you have that extra ability to do that. Now, you could create capacity through system improvements, of course. You can look at how you can make these efficiencies. You can ask the question, what are we going to stop doing to create capacity for change? But the first thing is you have to create capacity, because we've got 12 months ahead of us, and we can't run at insane pace for 12 months. As much as we like to think we can, we're all ambitious, we're all positive thinking, but we do need that change. So the first thing I'll say to you is, create and build a finance team that has capacity, and you will be in advance of your peers, because when the opportunities come, you will be able to grab them, work with them. The second piece is that I do think that we need to start shifting that finance team from, I guess, technical accounting to genuine ability to rework process, so process improvements, building communication skills and storytelling skills, building knowledge. So, are they really understanding how to use the systems they have, or are they just banging numbers in to try and get to month end? So having a really good look at your team, do I have good, well-rounded individuals with both business acumen and knowledge? Do they understand how our business operates so they can apply the technology effectively, but also do they have the knowledge of the systems that you're currently using? So investing in training, making sure your team understands your system, that they understand your data, so that you can then harness the new technology that's coming through. And where I find very often is that when we go into certainly new implementation projects, we'll have maybe one individual that really gets the process or understands the system. So how do you create an entire team of people that understand the processes and systems? Now, that can be documenting processes, that can be doing cross-individual education. How do you create more well-rounded individuals? Because then you de-risk. We're seeing a lot of movement in finance in particular, people leaving, people shifting roles, looking for different things for various reasons. But how do you create an ability for your team to be more agile and adaptable as things are going to get thrown at you? Because they will, right? If you've got any single person dependencies, get rid of them. And that means don't get rid of the person. Obviously, build that shared knowledge. Build systems and processes that don't rely on an individual, and make sure you have good documentation so other people can pick it up. Having really curious people, we actually talked in our own strategy meeting about building that curious mindset, having people that can really effectively challenge, that know how to communicate with senior stakeholders, that can really have, I guess, that they're not happy necessarily with the status quo. And that comes through maybe investing in development programs. So, you know, creative or critical thinking, thinking about how people communicate, understand communication styles. So for me, this year is the year to create capacity, and certainly in the next 6 months, create capacity, create well-rounded individuals that you can delegate various things to, that you're not limited to one great resource. You've got an entire team of people that can go out and drive the change that we are going to see, and that have the capacity to do so that you don't get left behind. So, and that is all about building the team for the future. So the next thing I would like you to think about in as we prepare for the year ahead is fixing the process before you automate it. So a bad process doesn't get better when you automate it. It just goes wrong faster, right? So you're going to have more issues. So where you've got issues with processes, get into it. You know, work, if you've got process that's been built upon process, you know, that's not been looked at for years, and you're hearing things like it's the way we've always done it, get into it, right? Because again, technology's developing, right? But the simpler your processes, the easier and the cheaper they are to automate, right? And you've got to remove complexity. Simplicity is, you know, complexity is the enemy of speed, right? If you want to move fast, if you want to take advantage of technology, you need to have simple, non-complex processes, because you will be able to move and automate a lot faster. And again, you will overtake other finance teams and capabilities. You will also find where you've got gaps. So things like controls, you know, again, you know, think about some of the issues we're having around cybersecurity, understanding controls, making sure that they're in place, so that, and then you can automate those and make sure that you have visibility of that, because you are going to need to move fast. You need to make sure the controls are suitable for the level of speed that you're going at. And making sure that, you know, automation in my mind should remove steps, not make things more efficient, because we are going to move to a point where people, when we're looking at the cost of AI, AI is actually really expensive to run. At the moment, it's quite cheap because everyone's trying to get people on board with it. But when you look at the actual cost of running AI, the data centers, the engine power that sits behind AI, at some point it's going to get expensive if you've got inefficient processes, and you're going to need more resource, you're going to need more AI to drive it. So we need to make sure that the underlying processes that we're using AI to automate are actually efficient and are instructed in a way that optimizes their use. So simplify, then automate, never the other way around. And resolution three, I think, you know, if you are not already thinking this, then you really should be, which is the shifting from hindsight to foresight, right? How do you build better visibility for what's coming ahead? How do you become proactive rather than reactive? So what I mean by that is your data, is it taking you too long to get reports? If it's taking you weeks to get your month-end reports, if you're not able to look mid-week, mid-month to understand where the business is at, then you're already behind the curve, right? So typical high-performing finance teams have around about 1 to 3 close time. If you're outside of that, then there's really needs to be a conversation about what is driving that. And actually, you need to shift to in-month reporting. How do we get that information out? How do we understand the numbers that drive our businesses and build that out into easily accessible reporting to enable the wider organization? Because I do think that a lot of organizations are now becoming a lot more data hungry. What we're seeing is people are looking to, you know, to surface that easily through various different AIs, etc. But you need good data in the first place. And when they actually unpick it, people are, you know, getting information from their AIs, but it's not based on good data. So it's not useful, and it's not driving adoption. So really getting into your data, make sure you've got clear data hierarchies, data structures, making sure you've got integration. So we actually did a webinar for our Sage customers all about how to build out good integrations, because it is a skill we're going to need, connecting the dots, making sure the data is shared across the organization so that each team can access data, and more importantly, can leverage AI to automate what they're doing, but get better insight into how to move forwards. But another key thing is that foresight only works and is useful and adds value if the inputs are clean and the people that are using it are able to understand it. So go back to that where I started, was building a finance team for the future, making sure they understand your business, making sure they have the business acumen in order to be able to take advantage of all of these new developments. Resolution number 4. So is really looking at the right technology to solve the problem that you have. And what I am seeing is everyone's talking about AI, but they don't necessarily understand the right application of AI. And there's different types of AI. So there's the ChatGPTs of the world. There's the automated machine learning in the background. So making sure that you're using the right tool for the job. And sometimes the answer is not AI. And I think we need to get comfortable with that. I know that sometimes it's easy to go in a boardroom and had a lovely conversation with the director of IT and technology at a well-known construction company. And they were saying, coming on the podcast, by the way, and they were saying that, you know, sometimes the answer isn't sexy. It isn't the shiniest toy in the room, which at the moment is AI. It's going back to basics of technology and making sure we have that use. We've matched the technology we're choosing to the use and the outcomes that we need. And I think that is so true. So making sure that we are using technology deliberately. We're being really clear on what type of technology we need to solve the problem. And we're being clear if it's a technology problem or a process problem or a data problem, right? Where is the issue? And what we're really looking to do is improve the integrity of the data, improve the speed of the data, and improve trust in what we're producing so that you and your exec team can make better decisions. So, and again, it's not just about the tech, it's the people, it's the processes, and what goes around that. And so for me, it's really about making smarter, more strategic decisions with how we move forward. So really understanding where is the problem? You know, is it people? Is it process? Is it tech? Is it data? It could be a combination of all of them, and then making a right choice and really focus on small iterative changes because things are moving so fast, jumping into big wholesale changes that are going to take 2 years to implement. We don't have that scale, and the technology will have changed by the time we get to the end of it. So how do we drive impact and value within shorter timeframes? And this is something we're really working hard at ITIS. How do we speed up the transformation? How do we get time to value a lot quicker? And how do we drive that through? So, so that is the New Year's resolutions that I think you should consider, you know, really looking at your team, looking at their skills, looking at their capacity, and ensuring that they are ready for that change and that they're enabled. Fixing processes, making sure that you've got a foundation that's strong enough to scale, whether that's through the use of technology or otherwise, that you're enabled and you've got the controls in place. Really focusing on moving from reactivity to proactivity, getting data out to the business faster, looking at how you forecast, trying to get into predictive rather than reactive analytics, and starting with a really strong, fast close. And then using the right tool for the jobs, you know, focusing on which is the technology that's going to solve my problem. Am I just plastering over a fix, or am I really making sure that my underlying architecture is strong enough for the future? And you know, taking the hits now so that when the technologies continue, as it continues to do, as it gets stronger and better, that we're in a place to take advantage of it. And so really focusing on that for 2026. And one of the things I have done, for those of you that do listen to the podcast or rather just live, is we are doing that. So what we are going to be taking a short hiatus. So we're going to be pausing and relaunching the podcast on the first week of April. So because we've got a whole new planned agenda. But what we really want to make sure is that we've got a consistent structure to how we're delivering episodes to you. So I'm very excited. We've got some brilliant partnerships that we're going to be launching, some amazing new content, and some fabulous guests that I'm really excited to share with you as well. So I want to say thank you so much to listen to this short and hopefully sweet episode. And you know, please do keep listening. We will be taking my favorite episodes from the past few years and revamping them so that you have access, because we've got an entire back catalog. Somebody said they can't believe how many episodes. I think we're in the 200s now. So we're going to take some of those older episodes that my favorites that I think are really relevant to today's audience still, bringing those forward, surfacing those for you. And then we're going to be kicking off with our entire new calendar of education come April. So if you've got any thoughts or ideas of what we should be including in that relaunch, I'd genuinely love to get your feedback. If you are a CFO with an amazing story to tell around transformation change or something you're incredibly proud of, then please do reach out. I also want to hear to you. And I want to say thank you so much to all of our listeners for all of the time they have taken out of their day to listen to the podcast, because, you know, I can't believe how far it's come in the last few years. So keep listening, enjoy the episodes that we've got coming. The revisited episodes that are so still relevant, which is amazing, isn't it? Several years later. And then I'm really excited to look forward and to share our amazing new calendar with you for the next 12 months. Thanks all. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon on the CFO 4.0 podcast. So for those of you that don't know what we do here at ITA, so we are a financial transformation consultancy that specializes in Sage Technologies. Whether that is looking at a new solution, evaluating your current solution, or just helping you to get the most out of your current setup, we can help. But rather than me tell you all the reasons that you should consider working with us as a Sage partner or a transformation consultancy partner, I'm going to let our customers do the talking for us.
ITAS were there from the sort of get-go, helping us, you know, talking through what the process was going to involve, setting expectations, you know, making it clear that how much work we were going to have to put in to make sure that the project was a success at the end. And then talking us through all our different options, looking through our current processes, making us reevaluate what was important, which elements we wanted to move across to the new system, how we wanted to configure our new system, and also kind of making us sit back and really think about what is the success of this project. When we get to the other end, when we finish the implementation and we're in the system, what's success going to look like? And actually, you know, putting that question back to us and really making us sit down and think about what is it that we are looking to gain from this whole process was really useful internally, making us really think about the key objectives and which areas to maybe prioritize over others. It was also really helpful sitting down and thinking about it rather than one big, huge project, actually splitting it down into different phases, sort of smaller bite-sized chunks, which made it seem a little bit more achievable within the time. And then thankfully, ITAS have been super flexible with us during this process because it happened to coincide our implementation with our first ever financial audit, which just took up huge amounts of our time that we didn't expect. So we did have to slightly push back some of our go live dates, and thankfully ITAS were accommodating and actually helped us navigate through that process. And like to say that thankfully we're out the other side of our first phase of go live, and loving the move to Intacct.